We start out today with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Neil. Good to be back on.
Rafi, a lot to talk about. First, let's talk about this most recent escape from the juvenile detention facility, or Orleans Parish Juvenile Court, I should say. You know, these stories, they just keep coming, and you shake your head and you scratch your head and you just wonder, when is this going to change?
Well, right. And, you know, so I looked into this, and there's a lot of attention and focus on how quickly the media was notified of the escape. And I want to know how he escaped, not how quickly they responded. Yes, that's important. But let's face it, this kid escaped from court. And before the media could be notified, even if the media was notified in 10 minutes, that wouldn't have prevented the kid from escaping and carjacking the car that he used to get away from the facility. So I did a deep dive into trying to figure out how the kid escaped. And what I found is that under the law, under the Code of Children's Codal Article, Article 408, a juvenile, and this is a juvenile, even though when he escaped, he was actually an adult, because he was arrested last week on attempt murder, armed robbery, aggravated assault with a firearm, illegal possession of a handgun by a juvenile, illegal use of a weapon, and aggravated criminal damage to property. He was a juvenile. He was not yet 17 years old. After he was in custody, before he could be brought to court, he turned 17 years old, making him an adult. So under the Louisiana Codal provisions governing juvenile offenders, the transporting authority, which is the JJIC, the Juvenile Justice Center in New Orleans, they're the detention center for delinquent juveniles, they're bringing him to court. They bring him to court in restraints, but they can't bring him into the courtroom in restraints because of this law. And so they take his restraints off, handcuffs and shackles, bring him into court. The proceeding was a transfer to adult court. So because of the attempt murder and the armed robbery charge, the DA was petitioning the court to move this offender from juvenile court to adult court. Well, this proceeding was scheduled before a hearing officer. A hearing officer doesn't have the authority to transfer a case like this to adult court. It has to be a judge. So first off, he was brought to court before a hearing officer that didn't have the authority to do what the DA's office was requesting. So should not have even been brought to court on that day.
But you would agree, Rafi, that that's about as elementary as it gets.
Yeah, right.
In the exercise of, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, common sense, you know, yeah. just know, you know, what you need to
yeah.
do. So he's brought to court for a hearing officer who can't handle the case, but he walks into court, you know, with his shackles off, with his handcuffs off, and has the proceeding, and basically it gets continued. So, but during that proceeding, he finds out from his attorney that the DA intends to transfer his juvenile arrests to adult court for him to be prosecuted as an adult. So now he knows that, you know, he's really facing some
issues. He's going to big boy court now.
He's going to big boy court, exactly. So now he knows that, and he doesn't have shackles on. And as they get to the back door, he bolts. And he's gone. Hops a couple of fences, carjacks a car of a lady that was waiting for her child to leave the LSU Dental Center. And he's gone, and they're still looking for him. So basically, you know, what we saw, what caused this escape is a state law. So I spoke to people all the different agencies involved. I spoke with people from the JJIC. I spoke to a judge. I spoke to the district attorney's office. And so the people that transport the offenders to court, the juveniles to court, they don't always have security. Sometimes they use social workers. On this particular day, I was told that a social worker brought him to court using the restraints. Had no problem getting him to court, but had to remove the restraints because in the past, when JJIC staffers bring juveniles into court in shackles, they've been admonished by judges and threatened with contempt. So they have been beaten down and conditioned that they know that they just take the shackles off. It's easier. They don't get chewed on. And they bring him to court, even though they may feel like that's not the right thing to do. It's not the safe thing to do. But they've been bullied for so long, they just don't want to fight it anymore.
Can I ask you two questions?
Yeah.
One, social worker. Isn't this guy, isn't there evidence that this guy is a gangbanger?
Yes, I was told by some officials that he has affiliations and links to local street gangs.
So knowing that, who makes the decision to send a social worker with this individual with the, you know, the alleged crimes that he committed, which are all violent in nature, and information relative to being a possible gangbanger?
I can't answer that question. I mean, obviously, you know, on any given day in the system, there's always going to, you know, we know there's staffing issues in the police department and in the sheriff's office. There's going to be staffing issues in the, you know, JJIC, the juvenile detention.
But this case highlights the downstream implications. That, for me, that's not a reasonable excuse. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
You yeah. got to make other accommodations and make things happen. Right. When you got a guy like this and the record that he has and everything else that goes along with it. So let's jump to the second question. We have this Children's Code Article 408. Who's prejudiced? These are all judge trials.
I agree.
There's no jury. You know,
right.
I mean, so who's actually prejudiced, you know, by this safety measure here? I mean, the judges are not able to separate themselves and or understand that maybe handcuffs are necessary. This is the stupidest article I've ever read in my life.
Well, I mean, the first paragraph A of that article, 408, says that, you know, proceedings should be conducted with dignity and in an orderly and expeditious manner. So I guess whoever...
Where's safety then? Where's safety?
I don't see it anywhere mentioned.
I read it three times. I don't see the word safety anywhere right. there, right? I mean, that's why this article is not worth the paper it's written on. It's ridiculous.
Well, It really is. So, you know, this law set into motion, you know, this escape and probably some of the other escapes that we're wondering, how did that happen? This isn't the first offender that's escaped after a court hearing in juvenile court. And, you know, it wasn't until I did a dive on this to figure out, well, this is the law that is supposedly creating an impediment to safely transporting people, offenders, back and forth from secure custody. And, you know, the issue you raised about who's prejudiced, I spoke to a judge yesterday about this. I said, are you telling me that you, as a judge, would somehow be prejudiced by seeing a child in restraints when you know what he's been arrested for, when you know he's in custody? How is that going to render you prejudiced in any meaningful way from being able to fairly, you know, administer justice in this case? And they said, well, of course not, but that's the law, and, you know, we have to follow the law. Well, the law doesn't have any common sense. And really, you know, I've spoken to some of the JJIC officials, and, you know, the law says that if they petition the court on an individualized case, you can, the court can grant permission to bring somebody in. Well, to think that you're going to be able to schedule it. So this kid just got arrested last week. This is his first appearance in court. Hasn't been allotted anywhere. The DA intends to transfer this case somewhere. They don't have time to request, Mother, may I? Can I bring this violent repeat juvenile offender into court in restraints? You bring them into court in restraints and explain to the judge why they're in restraints in court. And if the judge disagrees with that reasoning, it's on the judge to order the restraints removed.
And if exactly. That what we ought to do is amend this law to say that all kids are brought into court in handcuffs. How about that?
Yes. Yes.
Because absolutely. Safety and security is going to be paramount to everyone involved. All of the people in the courtroom.
Including the kid.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So think about this. People that are just focused on, you know, this is a 16-year-old just turned 17. And now, you know, not only is he facing an escape charge, he's facing a carjacking charge. And the attempt murder was in the process of being transferred to adult court. So did the system do any favors to this kid with this law and all of this? So, you know, again, common sense and logic have nothing to do with all of this. And for too long, you know, I think that the juvenile code has flown below radar.
Yeah.
And not only
it needs to be re-engineered, quite frankly.
Exactly. I mean, and this is a glaring example of why it needs to be re-engineered. Because this is a chain of events that really is embedded in a state law that has been interpreted to the absurd and is resulting in not only safety risks to the public and to the court and to the people that are trying to transport the officials, but also is not doing the offender any favors either.
So just so the listening audience gains a better understanding of why we're talking about this, right? Because I get a text, you and Rafi, you know, don't talk about the kids committing mass murder in schools, malls, and churches almost monthly, and you're on your soapbox about this guy. Well, this guy, just so this texter understands, escapes from court and then does what?
Carjacks somebody. And he's in custody because of an attempt murder and an armed robbery. So this, and I was told.
So to the texter, if you were the victim of the carjacking, I know one thing for sure. I'm going to make this prediction. You would not be texting me this morning. That I know for sure.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I know that he was also recently released from state custody for serving time as a juvenile for a violent offense. So he gets out. And the purpose of, you know, any criminal justice system, adult or juvenile, is to punish and to rehabilitate. And rehabilitation is even more important on the juvenile side of things. So yeah. He had apparently served his time for a violent offense as a juvenile, been released, and within a matter of a week or two, is committing the attempt murder, armed robbery, and the four other charges that he was just arrested for. So the system failed in its mission to rehabilitate this offender because he came out. I don't know what the violent offense was that he was serving time for, but I know the violent offense that he perpetrated is an attempt murder and an armed robbery, and I know that after his escape, he committed another violent offense, a carjacking. And now he's facing potentially decades in the penitentiary as a 17-year-old because the system is broken. The system is not working.
Yeah. You know, this is just another failure in the list of failures coming out of the juvenile justice system. And, you know, I read all the stories about this, and I would be remiss if I didn't say the following. The NOPD and whatever other law enforcement agencies out there that had to put their hands on this kid multiple times, placing themselves at risk because he obviously has a propensity for violence, nobody ever talks about that, right? We don't talk about that until we have an officer seriously hurt or killed. And then we talk about it. And then we talk about thoughts and prayers and everything else. We never mention the fact that these men and women that are risking their lives out on the street each and every day have to over and over and repetitively put their hands on these impact criminals on our streets, and no one ever talks about it. And we make these silly-ass mistakes all day long, and if judges are browbeating security people for bringing juveniles into court for being handcuffed, they should be the very individuals that have a desire and should speak out against Children's Code Article 408. Because if, I promise you this, the first time that kid jumps across that banister and across that bench and wraps his hands around the neck of that judge, guess who's going to want 408 changed? Yeah. That's a better bet than Secretariat, right?
Right. You know, so what's happened, yeah, I've spoken to people from the DA's office, I've spoken to the court, and I've spoken, as I said, to JJIC officials. And the DA and the JJIC officials are going to work on some protocols, and they will present those protocols to the court. And I said that someone needs to be there to represent the JJIC officials when they bring an offender into court in restraints and the judge wants to, you know, litigate Article 408 and threaten the JJIC officials for not complying with the law. That has to be the district attorney's office. So I've spoken with them about that. They've agreed to work with the JJIC. They are just as upset as everybody else with the situation. And it's going to require the criminal justice system not to just bury their head in the sand and say, well, that's just the law. We can't do anything till the law has changed. No, that's wrong. They can do something about it now, and it needs to happen now. And I think there is that sense of urgency, at least with respect to the district attorney's office and the JJIC officials. They're working on some protocols. They've agreed to do that. They'll present it to the court, and I'll follow up on it and see where that stands. But in the meantime, I'm also, you know, going to talk to some legislators about amending Article 408 to remove the language that I think has put to, into motion a chain of events that's creating a safety risk to the public and to the officials of the criminal justice system.
Well, I think it's time for the governor to call a committee together, the same way that they established this Children's Code in the first place, to have this review, to gain a better understanding of how we end up with articles like this that are onerous. And I did fail to mention the transporting officers from, you know, the JJIC that are bringing them to court all the time. They're at risk, as well as that social worker's at risk. All of these people are at risk. And, and as you pointed out, you read this article, you don't see the word safety anywhere in there.
Right.
You know, we are obsessed with the criminal defendant. I mean, yep. It's like craziness. We got the tail wagging the dog, and we wonder why we have repeat offenders, right? I mean, it's amazing to me. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goinecci, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.